Upheaval, Reckoning, Chapter 24, The Greatest of Us All.
I don't understand, Mistress. If you want me to kill Pinkie Pie, I have a toxin ready to melt whatever passes for her brain. Has she offended you so much that she must made to suffer first?
Sable stood firm while Black Rose mulled over her question. Though she took fierce pride in her loyalty to the greatest pony Equestria has ever produced, she had never shied away from asking questions.
I don't want Pinkie Pie dead, Black Rose replied. I want her tested as the element of joy. If she breaks, then you may end her suffering. Her element will be better off with a stronger bearer. However, I do have faith in her ability to grow. The elements would not choose so frivolously.
Sable Steel continued to stare. Something was wrong with her mistress. Black Rose watched the myriad images that surrounded her as if things were simply business as usual. By now, Black Rose should be enjoying herself immensely. Things were going her way, and there were enough little surprises to keep her alert. 700 years ago, she would be smiling widely and humming some nameless tune to herself. Instead, she looked downcast.
"Are you all right, mistress?" she asked. "You look sad."
A small smile curved Black Rose's lips.
I didn't think you would be concerned over my happiness, Sable.
You might be distracted. The stakes are too high and we have too many enemies.
The smile widened. My moods will not be a problem.
I'll be going then, Sable Steel said.
She saluted out of habit, once more having to remind herself that she was no longer a legionnaire.
There's the Sable I know, Black Rose replied. Be off then.
With a snort, Sable Steel shoved aside the recollection. She was in the woods, just a few miles from Canterlot, where she was to take care of a loose end before working on the element of joy's adversity. A group of true earth ponies, including one of those that Pinkie Pie had encountered in Fangbreaker Fortress, was making its way towards Canterlot. Pinkie Pie's channeler tablet was guiding them unerringly towards her.
These true earth ponies may have done their part by setting Pinkie Pie on the right path to power. I don't need them burdening her with their useless dogma. Sable Steel, I'm letting you take care of all matters related to Pinkie, including these unneeded ponies.
This was a part Sable Steel liked about her current assignment. No vague test of adversity here. All that was needed was a simple ambush. The late afternoon sun filtered through the canopy, providing her with just enough light to spot her prey. She adjusted her breather mask and readied herself. Sable had always found the true earth ponies to be a bizarre lot. Fighting alongside Frenzy Heart, along with 700 years of dormancy, had done nothing to change that opinion. As far as she was concerned, they were just one more cult that hindered Equestria by driving a wedge among its various ponies. There were 12 of them this time. Two channelers, easily recognizable by their stone-faced masks, led the group. The rest were warriors, 5 armed with large mouth-held blades, and the remaining 5 armed with crossbows. She studied them carefully. They carried crossbows preferred by the Western Legion, heavy, slow, and capable of bringing down an Urson. No Pegasus could wield those monsters and stay aloft. Once more, Sable Steel found her thoughts straying towards her mistress. This time it was what her fellow Sorn had to say. The mistress is merely adjusting to the fact that this is her first campaign wherein she does not have her beloved's approval, Lioncourt said as he walked with Sable Steel through the obsidian hallway.
I don't like it, Sable Steel replied. She looks weak by sulking like that. We are contending with the Alicorns themselves. We can't have Black Rose be weak even for a second.
If our mistress showed not even a hint of regret over having to fight the prince, I would have abandoned her cause in a heartbeat, Lioncourt said.
And I would have made sure that it was the last heartbeat you ever had, Sable Steel growled. Black Rose is the greatest of us all because she can and will sacrifice everything and every pony necessary for the good of Equestria. All this regret stains that fact.
Lioncourt smiled. On the contrary, her regret proves all the more that what she has given up is truly important. Don't you understand? She could have stayed the loyal commander and our prince would have willfully ignored the deaths needed to make her immortal. She gave up that happy career to push on with her plans. Isn't that the mark of her ruthlessness that you adore so much, my dear Sable?
I still don't like it.
And we're back where we started. Did I just converse with a water wheel? Sable Steel snorted and shook her head. She had to focus. She was still frustrated after her talk with Lioncourt. These folds were a boon as targets she could take those frustrations out. As she had hoped, the channelers were so busy tracking Pinkie Pie that they didn't notice the tripwire just ahead of them. The first channeler's front legs snapped the trap.
Before he could even shout a warning, a volley of darts flew from the vegetation. Three of them found homes in his neck, pumping his bloodstream with a vicious nerve toxin so quickly that he was no longer breathing by the time his partner checked up on him. The others aimed their weapons towards where the dart had fired. That was Sable Steel's cue. She pressed a button on her right foreleg device, causing a 3-inch-long blade to extend just past her hoof. Just swooped in from behind the group. She grabbed a crossbow-carrying pony who stood just a little apart from the rest of his fellows and lifted him past the canopy. A couple of bolts whizzed past her, while the rest of the shots were widely off mark. Her victim wasted no time screaming his lungs out. His crossbow dropped while he flailed with his forelegs.
"Stop struggling, fodder!" Sable Steel muttered.
She plunged the needle into the earth pony's gut, dove back into the canopy, then dropped him in the middle of his fellows. The impact snapped one of the pony's hind legs, but the pain of a bone breaking went ignored as his guts were already churning violently.
"Help me!"
he cried out weakly. With an agonized moan, he dragged himself towards his fellows. His abdomen was already swelling with building gas when the others looked him over. Cries of alarm followed, but it was too late. The earth pony's midsection burst in horrid explosion of blood and gore, releasing a cloud of toxic yellow haze in the middle of the group. The rest of the earth ponies stumbled out of the cloud, their eyes and noses burning from the poison. Sable Steel swooped into them, her foreleg devices now sporting a pair of envenomed short blades. The true earth ponies struggled to focus their attacks on the blur that flew past them to no avail. Sable Steel's first pass sliced open three of them, including the surviving channeler. Before she regained some altitude, she dropped a canister, which released another toxic cloud. She circled around them and flew back in, slashing and stabbing with precision. They tried to surround her on her second pass. Instead of flying by, however, she landed in their midst and lashed out. Her hind legs were also armed. When she kicked out, the curved, poisoned blades near her back hoofs cut open the chest of those who approached her from behind. The edges of her wings had slender, curving, feather-shaped blades attached to them. Though useless in flight, she brought them to bear whenever she landed. Her tail whipped about and another device, a barbed stinger, buried itself in another pony's neck. Their lungs and eyes on fire and their bodies full of poison, Sable Steel's targets fell to the ground, twitching and bleeding out. She landed just a few feet from the killing zone and surveyed her work. Despite 700 years of dormancy, her ambush was a success. She had to admire Black Rose's ability to essentially rebuild her body.
What's going on here?
Sable Steel froze. This was not part of her plan. She recognized the high-pitched squeal of a voice, having studied its source as part of her assignment. Despite the impossibility of it, Pinkie Pie was here. Her last sighting was all the way back in Canterlot, wandering its streets and consulting her channeler's tablet. She didn't have the instant transport which the Thorns possessed. She wasn't even the Pegasus. How could she be here right now? Pinkie Pie is a natural channeler, but that is an oversimplification of what she can do. I'm assigning her to you, Sable, but I want you to stay sharp. Don't let her silliness lull you into a false sense of safety. Black Rose was right yet again. Of course Black Rose was right. The greatest pony in the world was always right. Despite her surprise, Sable Steel turned around confidently. It didn't matter now. She was going to make contact with Pinkie Pie anyway, so this sudden meeting only made things more convenient. Being surrounded by a slowly fading haze of poisonous gas and the still twitching bodies of her victims was an added bonus. With a press of a button, she retracted the blades on her front hoofs and slowly approached Pinkie Pie.
You killed them!
Pinkie Pie gasped. It was a reaction Sable Steel was used to on the very rare instances she was sighted. Her breather mask was designed not just to protect her from her toxic fumes, but also to intimidate her foes with an alien visage. The rest of her gear was blackened metal, all designed to heighten that appearance in addition to their function as weapons.
"I did," Sable Steel replied.
The breather mask partly distorted her voice, making it sound hollow and unpony-like. Pinkie Pie took a few steps back.
"My name is Sable Steel, one of the Thorns."
As she moved away from the poison clouds, she removed the breather mask and inhaled sharply, closing her eyes for a moment as she did so. A lone green eye glared at Pinkie. Sable Steel leaned just a little closer.
"Look at these and think of those precious to you, Pinkie Pie. I'm going to do worse things to them."
She flew through the canopy before she could see any reaction. For some time, Pinkie Pie continued to stare at the canopy. The stone had leading her somewhere, but it suddenly veered towards a different course, as if it had picked up a different signal. She wasn't sure how she knew that, but she followed anyway. The next thing she knew, she was staring at this scene of carnage. Bodies were scattered everywhere while ominous clouds of colored smoke lingered in the air. Nearby trees were smeared with blood and bits of gore. A few of the corpses were still twitching. At the center of it all was something. It looked like it had the body of a pony, but its outstretched wings were trimmed with black spine-like things. Its legs were also tipped with black material, and its tail had some kind of stinger, which hung low beneath its hind legs. It looked like a pony crossed with a giant wasp. It walked over and took off its face, helmet, as it turned out. The strange creature was a pony. The next thing Pinky knew, it was gone.
Wait a moment, what did she just say?
Pinky's eyes widened. She looked around in a futile attempt to find the pony wasp thing, but it was gone. She looked towards Canterlot, then towards Ponyville. What was she going to do? Where was that thing headed towards? Which ponies precious to her did she mean?
I think you're crazy bringing the Orphidites into this, Longstride, Sable Steel said. This is a pony matter that should be resolved internally.
Rainbow Dash is my assignment, Longstride answered. Do you have a paralytic for the job?
Of course I have a paralytic. I perfected my paralytics when I was still in diapers. Just give me the arrows and I'll have them ready.
Longstride handed his quiver to Sable Steel, who snatched it.
So, what are her chances on surviving your test by your estimate?
Sable Steel asked.
Zero. She's going to die, possibly on the first day.
Sable Steel raised an eyebrow.
That's harsh, even for you. The element of loyalty must have chosen her for a reason, right?
The element of loyalty chose randomly. She dropped out of her flight school due to discipline issues. Discipline is but loyalty to oneself. She doesn't even have that.
Sable Steel frowned.
Our mistress asked you to test her, not kill her.
I am testing her.
With something guaranteed to kill her. That's not testing, Longstride. That's murder.
The mistress asked for a test fit for the element of loyalty. I gave one. Whether she can pass or not is not my concern. I repeat, Sable Steel, Rainbow Dash is my assignment.
Fine, whatever. Just come by me later to get these arrows.
Longstride held the paralytic-treated arrows and knocked one of them. His targets were barely more than spots over the horizon, one trailed by rainbow colors and the other red.
Begin interception,
he told the indoctrinated Pegasi still lounging beneath his perch. As his target neared, he saw legs frantically beating wings and a sky-blue coat. He made out his target's cutie mark, a bolt of rainbow-colored lightning emerging from a cloud. It may as well be a bull's eye. He aimed for that spot and let the bowstring go. The runes on Longstride's arrow glowed brightly as their magic activated, granting his shot a range that no ordinary weapon could grant. The arrow was gone in a blink, and it wasn't long until he got his result.
This is Longstride,
he said to his communicating device. The sky-blue figure plummeted.
Long-range shot successful.
He watched as Hasif's Pegasi streaked towards Rainbow Dash. The red figure quickly reacted to the sudden attack and dove for the falling Pegasus. Longstride knocked his second arrow and adjusted his aim. Scarlet grinned from ear to ear as he followed Rainbow Dash to very edges of Canterlot. She was heading for a good spot. He was already itching to get his weights off and start racing seriously. The mare's rainbow-colored tail fluttered about just a few feet away. He hoped that it was the same sight he would see during their actual race. Rainbow veered sharply to one side as if something had slammed into her. Scarlet dove in after her.
Rainbow!
He called out. She didn't respond. For a moment he was afraid that Rainbow Dash was dead already. He caught her with his forelegs and breathed a quick sigh of relief when he felt her inhale. Her open eyes darted wildly. Her mouth seemed frozen in the middle of crying out. Her wings were still outstretched and resisted stiffly when he gave them a little push.
Rainbow!
There was still no response. Though she was breathing, the rest of her was rigid. His eyes went to her flank and spotted an arrow buried where the lightning bolt met the cloud on her cutie mark.
Sniper!
The thought barely registered in Scarlet's mind when something struck in his flank as well. Shock and pain coursed through his body. Rainbow fell from his grasp as both of them started to plummet. This was impossible. They were a long way from the ground and he didn't see any spot where a sniper could hide in. Where had to the shot come from? Armed with a magical bow with line-of-sight range.
Longstride,
Scarlet thought. He berated himself furiously for not keeping a better eye out. If he considered something as ridiculous as line-of-sight range, there were plenty of places for that shot to come from. But why was Longstride going after him and Rainbow Dash? He tried desperately to flap his wings to no avail.
Shot in the flank again, he thought.
He spotted a group of Pegasi flying towards him from the edges of his periphery.
The captain's going to kill me.
Second long-range shot successful.
Longstride said to his communicating device. In truth, Scarlet Rabbit was already expendable. The only reason he was still alive was because pretenses of working with the thief had to be kept. By the end of this mission, an arrow might still find a home in Scarlet's skull. The Pegasi flying to intercept the two were on target. It wasn't long until Rainbow Dash and Scarlet Rabbit were under Orphidite custody.
Too easy, Longstride thought.
It was disgrace that the element of loyalty would pick so a poor candidate as its bearer. He could have aimed for Rainbow Dash's heart and the elements would be a bearer short. The Pegasi patrols were nowhere near the incident. Longstride wasn't surprised. That was likely the nudge that Black Rose promised. The patrols could be distracted by some other incident. They could very well be her agents already. Longstride flew out of his perch. Hashimisa and her ponies were down there already securing their two captives. He had no inclination to help them get out of Equestria and get back to Aphidus.
I like your plan, Longstride. It's bold and interesting, Black Rose said.
Thank you, mistress,
Longstride replied.
But it's also dangerous. I don't want to lose Rainbow Dash to the Ophidites. If we are coming very close to losing her in Aphidus, kill them. If they break her, put her out of her misery.
Understood.
And Longstride?
Yes, mistress.
Try to have a little faith in Rainbow Dash.
Faith in Rainbow Dash. That was something Longstride doubted he'd ever have. To make matters worse, it seemed as if he was the only son who noticed just how grave the situation was. He didn't have faith in any of the bearers of the Elements of Harmony, least of all Rainbow Dash. The best source of action was to kill them all and hope that the Elements of Harmony picked better bearers. But Black Rose believed in the strength of these fillies. She had always been something of a gambler, but she was risking the fate of Equestria here. He didn't see what could merit that gamble. He didn't see potential and he wasn't interested in it. Each bearer needed years of experience and training as well as a good show of their discipline and skill before he would even begin to believe that they were worthy of carrying the manifestations of the virtues that Equestria was founded upon.
If Black Rose really does see something in you, Rainbow Dash, then you ought to survive this minor test of mine.
Longstride flew off. Outwardly, it appeared as if his job of helping the Hasif's group was over and he was returning to his post. In truth, he was going to go to another hiding spot. He didn't trust Hashimisa or her pony-shaped snakes not to eat the two on the trip back to Aphidus. If Rainbow Dash was going to die, it will be because she failed miserably, not because some Ophidite suddenly thought she was better off being dinner.
Oh, Longstride, why did you have to shoot her there? It's going to ruin her cutie mark.
Black Rose sighed and set aside the medical image. Of all her sons, it was Longstride she was most worried about. Lioncourt was always a gentle colt, and Sablesteel knew how to work with delicate substances. Longstride believed in his aim and little else. His rough handling was certainly going to be a challenge for Rainbow Dash. She focused on the other bearers of the Elements of Harmony. Twilight Sparkle was going to need her personal touch. She owed that one that much. Applejack was also going to need another nudge. There was also work to be done. Information about Rainbow Dash's capture had to be filtered carefully to gain the required reactions. Everything had to be carefully managed or this could get out of hoof very quickly. As for Fluttershy, well, that was a problem she was still mulling over. Her plan for Fluttershy called for a lot of resources being moved and a great deal of casualties. The whole bordered on not being worth it. Poking a Wrath Dragon was less dangerous than trying to tap into the stair. With a wave of her hoof, Black Rose dismissed all the magical images and lay her head down on her bed. She began to mumble the words for a short sleep spell. It had come to the point that she basically had to knock herself unconscious or risk suffering from a lack of sleep. Even with these breaks, urgency tugged at her mind. Her agents might discover something that needed her attention. A situation might change or an opportunity might arrive. She couldn't afford to spend hours just lying on her bed with her eyes open. Magically induced sleep, however, was a poor substitute for the sort of rest she craved. It had been a day since she last slept, but she could barely recall the last time she was at ease. When she first emerged from her dormancy, she had been confident that she would weather this problem without any trouble. Now, as her plans slowly reached their crucial moments, it was only getting worse. To complicate matters, her thorns were starting to notice. She wasn't worried about betrayal. Even Blue Moons was accounted for before it even happened. Morale would certainly suffer if her troops saw her faltering, unless... Black Rose's thoughts slipped toward the familiar gray alicorn. The sleep spell was starting to take hold and she wanted her next wakeful thoughts to be pleasant.
If it was only possible to smother her worries with memories of those nights. An idea suddenly came to mind. Before she drifted off, she was already smiling with approval. It was dangerous and certainly a mite reckless, but it just might work.
Wow, everypony, we have, the first show of Sable Steel's poisons, and what do you think of that? I mean, she does take out a group of 12 ponies by herself, alone, poisoning them. I mean, she does it swiftly and efficiently. She is clearly an assassin. She is dangerous. What do you think about the threat she makes to Pinky about her loved ones? Will she actually go and assassinate those precious to Pinky? I mean, that just seems a little, I don't know, overboard? But then we have Longstride. Both of them are tasked with, quote-unquote, testing the elements of harmony. And we see what kind of test Longstride chose for Rainbow Dash. He himself says that she has a 0% possibility of surviving the whole thing. What do you think about that? Will she survive it? I mean, we know that the Ophidites use ponies as slaves or dinner. And, well, yeah. What do you think? Will Rainbow Dash end up as dinner? Will she fight her captors once the poison wears off? Or will she be the obedient prisoner, doing everything that her captors tell her, just to find a chance to escape? I mean, I know what I would do, but I would like to know your opinion on that. Sincerely yours, Visual Pony.